He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God. This is the second Sunday in Easter, of Easter, excuse me. I'm glad that you could join us here today for Matins. It's still kind of weird, even though it's been a month of doing this. We look forward to the time in which we can actually gather together once again, and we hope it's sooner than later. Matins is the order of service that we're going to be following. That's going to be found on page 219 if you've got a hymnal. Also, you could have downloaded the entire service on the Facebook app as well. But Matins 219, and if you've got a ribbon, put a ribbon at Psalm 148. We're going to be doing that psalm as well. And then the first hymn that we're going to be doing is hymn 470 this morning, 470.
To
page 219. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Praise to you, O Christ. Alleluia. Blessed be God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. O come, let us worship Him. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. The deep places of the earth are in His hand. The strength of the hills is His also. Thus worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Glory be to the Father and Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Blessed be God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. O come, let us worship Him. We turn now to Psalm 148. 148. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you shining stars. Praise Him, you highest. Above the heavens, let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created, and He established them forever and ever. He gave a decree and it shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth. raised up a horn for his people, praise for all his saints. For the people of Israel who are near to him, praise the Lord. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The first reading for the second Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 5. But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." When they had heard this, they were all enraged and wanted to kill them. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in honor by all the people, stood up and gave orders to put the men outside for a little while. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take care what you are about to do with these men. For before these days, Theudas rose up, claiming to be someone. And a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census and drew away some of the people after him. He too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan of or this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God." So they took his advice. And when they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. The epistle is from 1 Peter chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him, and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld."
Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. We turn in our hymnals to the responsory, the Easter responsory on page 222. Sing to the Lord and bless his name. Proclaim his salvation from day to day. Give to the Lord all glory and strength. Give him the honor to his name. Alleluia, alleluia. Now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that sleep. Give to the Lord all glory and strength. Give him the honor to his name. Alleluia, alleluia. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Give to the Lord all glory and strength. Give him the honor to his name. Alleluia, alleluia.
We now turn to hymn 472, 472, "These things did Thomas count as real."
By grace believe, and those Christ receive, whose raw imprinted palms reached out and beckoned Thomas from his doubts.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the second Sunday of Easter comes from our gospel reading of John. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Thus far the text. John here speaks about the sole purpose for writing his gospel. But his words are also true for the entirety of Scripture. There is only one purpose for why God's word is written down, only one reason why it is proclaimed in churches, why we read it in our homes, why we make certain that our children know it and believe it. And that purpose is clear, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Anything else that we might grab from Scripture is at best secondary to what has been said, and is at worst a complete misunderstanding of God's word, the cross, the resurrection, Jesus himself. In our text, the disciples are terrified. They're locked away in a room. Thomas doubts and forever has a nickname that isn't so much his, but is all of ours. And this all makes sense. Just think about it. Jesus is dead and buried. All of the disciples saw him arrested. A couple of them saw him put on trial and sentenced to death. At least one of them witnessed him naked and dead hanging from the cross. And they all knew the place where he was buried. They could go to it themselves. They could pay their respects if they weren't so scared that the same would happen to them. Who could blame them with all of this? Who among us would have been or believed or thought or done any differently? A dead means dead. And in this case, it means a whole lot more. A dead Jesus means that everything that they believed in was a lie. All of it, from beginning to end, a great big sham. Jesus is dead. The so-called Messiah is not the Messiah that they had expected, that they had thought he was. 3 years of their life wasted. Lives destroyed, friendships broken, family relationships ruined. All of this for a Jesus who's now rotting away in a grave. But the tomb's empty, Mary Magdalene says. And sure, maybe they believed her, but even this didn't make any sense, and even this didn't make everything all right. So Jesus appears to them. Behind locked doors, with no way in or out, there he is in the flesh. Nail marks still in his hands and feet, a giant gash still in his side. This is no ghost, this is no spirit or aberration. It is Jesus in the flesh. It is Jesus risen from the dead, body and soul, risen. And it defies all logic. It defies all laws of nature. It even defies the law of God. But there he is. And there's no mistaking it. They all had to see it with their own eyes, even Thomas. And Jesus obliges them. He calms their troubled hearts and minds. He speaks peace to them, and they are glad. They are overjoyed with relief and comfort, too. Jesus is alive. He is risen. But there's more to it than that, and you know that there is. There has to be. In our text, Jesus continues with that odd little act of breathing on them and giving them the Holy Spirit. And this is important because Jesus' work is not yet done. Yes, he won the victory over sin and death, the grave, from the demons too, when he breathed his last and gave up his spirit, when he was placed in the tomb and then burst forth from it
3 days later. All of the victory was his, but there's more. There's so much more than just that, because Jesus didn't do all of that for himself. He didn't rise from the dead for his own good and for his own purpose. He didn't show himself to the disciples so that they might say, "Well, good. I guess he wasn't lying. Jesus really is the Christ, the Son of God. He's God in the flesh. Good for him. Of course death couldn't hold him. He's God. He's the Lord of life. Of course the grave couldn't keep him enslaved. He's too powerful for that. The grave is too weak. What a great day. Jesus is vindicated. All of the naysayers are put to shame." Now all of that is true. None of that is the purpose for who Jesus is or what he came and accomplished. None of Jesus' work, his death, burial, resurrection, was for his good. It was for their good. It's for our good. It's for your good. So Jesus does that weird breathing on them thing and gives them the Holy Spirit. And he says, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." And there it is. There's the purpose of all of it. From Christmas morning to Easter sunrise, it's all about one thing: the forgiveness of sins. For what Jesus accomplished on the cross, it must be given to the sinners of this world. Jesus paid the price for the sins of the entire world on the cross. He crushed the head of Satan and he overcame death too. Now all of this must be given. Must be given to terrified sinners hiding away from the corona-infested world in locked rooms. It must be given to doubting Thomases like you and me who can't for the life of us believe in the unbelievable. All of this must be given to the people that he came to save. For what good is the cross if it isn't for you? If it isn't given to you? What good is his resurrection if it isn't for you? If it isn't given to you? It's worthless. It's pointless. If Jesus kept all of this to himself, it would be nothing more than a horrible and ugly joke on us, because we would still be chained to our sin, we would still be bound to the devil, and we would still be locked away in our graves. But Jesus would not have any of that. And so he took the spoils of war, he took the shining crown of victory that he won on the cross, that he put on at his resurrection, and he gave it to the disciples. But not just to them, to you as well. And he did this in a real and tangible way. He does this in real and tangible ways, even today, in a spoken word of forgiveness, in wet foreheads of infants and adults alike, in bread and wine that is body and blood. He gives the victory of the cross, the victory over the grave, to you, to the church. And just think of that. Think of the amazing and ultimately stupefying reality and truth that really is. Into the hands of mortal men, into the hands of sinners like you and me, he gives the keys to unlock the kingdom of heaven. All that we couldn't accomplish for ourselves, everything that we are unworthy to claim as our own, Jesus gives to us and says, "It is ours." He makes us worthy to receive the victory over sin and death and the devil. And more than that, he gives us the authority to proclaim that victory, to give that victory to sinners just like us. Jesus declares, "What is mine is yours, and now go and give all of that to everyone you meet. Don't hide it away behind a locked door. Give it freely to others as I have freely given it to you. Unlock the kingdom of heaven to those who are still on this earth." Certainly, it's true that no one can forgive sins but God Himself. But what good is that forgiveness if I have to ascend to the heavens in order to receive it? How do I even get there? How do I know for certain that it is mine? Do I just feel it? Do I think hard enough about it and then it's true? Do I have to obtain some mystical or spiritual ascendance into the presence of God somewhere up there? I can't do that. I'm but a mortal man. I live in this world, this temporal world, right here where I still sin daily, even hourly. I still have Satan prowling around me like a roaring lion. I still bury my loved ones and will someday enter the tomb with them. What good is this heavenly forgiveness if I'm not in heaven? I need it here. I need it now. I need Jesus and His victory right where I am, not where I hope to be one day. So Jesus, He breathes His Spirit upon the disciples, upon the church, tells them to forgive sins here on earth, right here, where sin is real, and the devil still tempts and death still kills. He says to them, go and forgive. Go and bring peace. Go and give life. Go and give my victory, which is now your victory through me. Go and give this to the world, to sinners, to you. So they do. And forgiveness is ours, right here on earth, just as it is in heaven. There's no more need to doubt any of that than there was need for Thomas to doubt that Jesus was raised from the dead. But even when you do doubt, even when you all become your own doubting Thomases, Jesus is still there for you, just like He was for Thomas. In word and water and bread and wine, He's there for you, that you might receive the forgiveness of your sins, so that you might believe and have life and salvation in His name. We don't have to stand with our mouths open, gaping towards heaven with the hope that our sins are forgiven. Instead, we have it right here in time and space. We have it within the church. That's why we gather. That's why God instituted the church, so that we can come together, troubled by sin and guilt and shame, and we can hear the words of Christ proclaimed from the lips of a pastor, "You are forgiven." And how can we know that that forgiveness is true? How can we believe that no one and nothing, not sin, not our neighbors, not Satan or death, not even God Himself, can hold that sin against us? Because Jesus Himself declared it to be so. Christ Himself gave us His word, our baptisms, His supper. Christ Himself instituted these ways of absolution so that what is forgiven here on earth is forgiven there in heaven. His death won it all. His resurrection sealed the victory and justifies us. And it is our Lord's words that now say, "You are forgiven." And I know we are still in strange times right now. And we can't gather together. Here I'm standing in an empty sanctuary. Hopefully soon that will pass. The day after service, I'm going to meet with the elders and president of our congregation to discuss this very thing. For us, gathering around a screen during this time, it's good, but it's not ideal. It's far better that we gather together. We want this. All of us desire this. I know I do. And sooner or later, and God help us, I pray that it is sooner, we'll be able to do this again. Until that time, if you feel comfortable and safe, please continue to make arrangements with me so that you can receive the Lord's Supper. For those who can't, that's fine. It is. Remember your baptisms. Remember and believe the words of your Lord that He has made you children of the Heavenly Father, and that in that watery grave of your baptism, Jesus has buried you into His death and resurrection. For all our shut-ins and those in care facilities, I'll continue to try and send my sermons on a weekly basis. And when it's appropriate and safe, myself and Pastor Woolery will come and visit you and bring you communion. We do this all. We worship in this way because this is how our Lord calls us to worship. This is how our Lord gives His cross and resurrection to us. This is how our Lord gives us victory over sin and death and the devil. This is the whole reason for the church. The whole reason that we gather together as saints in our Lord. So that we might receive. So that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. So that we might believe in Him and have life in His name. So that we might receive the gifts of the cross and the resurrection here in time and space. So that you might know for certain that here on earth, your sins are forgiven, and they're forgiven in heaven too. In the name of Jesus, amen. We turn in our hymnals to page 223.
You, O God, we acknowledge You to be the Lord. All the earth now worships You, the Father everlasting. To You all angels cry aloud, the heavens and all the powers therein. To You cherubim and seraphim continually do cry. Holy, 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 Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of the majesty of Your glory. The glorious company of the apostles praise You. The goodly fellowship of the prophets praise You. The noble army of martyrs praise You. The holy church throughout all the world does acknowledge You. You are infinite majesty, Your adorable, true, and only Son. Also the Holy Ghost, the Comforter. You are the King of glory, O Christ. You are the everlasting Son of the Father. When You took upon Yourself to deliver man, humbled Yourself to be born of a virgin. When You had overcome the sharpness of death, You opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. You sit at the right hand of God in the glory of the Father. We believe that You will come to be our judge. Therefore pray You to help Your servants, whom You have redeemed. redeemed with your precious blood. Make them to be numbered with your saints in glory everlasting. O Lord, save your people and bless your heritage. Govern them and lift them up forever. Day by day we magnify you, and we worship your name forever and ever. Grant, O Lord, to keep us this day without sin. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us. O Lord, let your mercy be upon us, as our trust is in you. O Lord, in you have I trusted. Let me never be confounded.
227 with the Kyrie. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. O Lord, hear my prayer, and let my cry come to you.
Hear us, merciful Father, as we pray for ourselves, for the church, and for our nation, and for all conditions and manner of people. God of mercy, keep us from the doubts and fears that cripple us and prevent us from knowing the fullness of your saving peace and gracious presence. Teach us to trust in your word and to believe with all our hearts and minds and bodies and strength in Jesus Christ, crucified for our sins and raised for our justification. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of grace, bestow upon your church your Holy Spirit, that all the gifts that come down from on high, grant to us faithful pastors who will preach faithfully, and give us ears to hear your word proclaimed. Sustain us while apart, and bring your scattered church together again quickly. Give us boldness in our witness before the world, and courage to speak your name without fear. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of power, give courage and strength to those persecuted for the faith, and comfort the families of the martyrs. In uncertain times, keep your church from being tossed about by the winds of change. Keep her steadfast in the doctrine of the apostles and the faith once delivered to the saints. Help us to admonish those who have fallen away and to restore with gentleness those who have wandered from the truth. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of might, counsel the nations and their leaders to act wisely in all matters. Bless us with faithful and just leaders who will protect the sanctity of life and defend us against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Make us wise and discerning citizens who use the gift of liberty for noble purpose. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of love, teach us to love one another as you have loved us. Guide us to make manifest the love and strength of Christ to our troubled and fearful world. Deliver us from disease and everything else that would threaten our homes and families. Protect the police, firefighters, disaster relief workers, and medical personnel who attend to us, as well as the places where we live and work. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of comfort, give your aid and relief to all who suffer want or need, to the sick in their afflictions, to those troubled in mind, to those to whom death draws near. Heal and sustain them according to your gracious will, and preserve them in faith to eternal life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of hope, be with those who grieve the loss of a loved one. Point them to the promise of the resurrection and the gift of everlasting life to all who die in Christ. Deliver us from distractions, that we may focus on your needful word, so that we may be found faithful when our Lord returns in his glory. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of compassion, bless us with the good gifts of the earth, with the fruits of our honest labors, and with kind and generous hearts. Accept the worship of our hearts and voices, along with the tithes and offerings we bring in gratitude and thanksgiving. Look with mercy on the unemployed, and open our eyes and hearts to the needs of the people, that we may serve them in your name. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O blessed Lord and God, hear the prayers of your people, and teach us to trust in your will to answer our prayers with all that is needful and beneficial, both for us and for all for whom we pray. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit, be with you all. Amen.
We turn to hymn 463, 463, Christ the Lord is risen today.
Christians hasten on our way.
Lord be with you.